Greetings, friends. This talk introduces the second week's Truth of Happiness course Dhamma study on integrating the four foundations of mindfulness into Shamatha Vipassana meditation and the broader framework of the Eightfold Path. Included at the end of the talk is a 20-minute Shamatha Vipassana meditation session. The talk concludes with metta intentional meditation. I've been questioned a few times why I called the book The Truth of Happiness. And the reason why is to just put it out there that that's exactly what the Buddha taught. Most people, when they come across the Buddha's teaching, they see that first noble truth, the truth of suffering, and they think that all that the Buddha taught was suffering. What he taught was to understand suffering so that we can put all the causes aside and developing lives of lasting peace and happiness. So hence the title of the book. And what we're doing here, we're laying the foundation to develop a life of lasting peace and happiness no matter what's occurring in our life. Tonight the talk is on the four foundations of mindfulness, and I just gave myself a little pause. Mindfulness is is really the point of the Dhamma, but a very refined type of mindfulness. So the Buddha taught mindfulness in two separate but very distinct and very significant ways. The first was in the Satipatthana Sutta, which means the four foundations of mindfulness. And the only other application of mindfulness that the Buddha ever introduced was to be mindful of each factor of the Eightfold Path. And we'll talk about that, I think it's week five, when we're actually into right mindfulness. The four foundations of mindfulness are to be mindful of form, or your physical body, be mindful of feelings, be mindful of thoughts, and be mindful of, it's usually written as to be mindful of mind. I call that be mindful of the quality of mind. The reason why these are significant and the foundation of all of the mindfulness is that before we can develop any understanding of ourselves, we have to be aware of what's occurring instead of just reacting to it. So when the Buddha says be mindful of form or be mindful of your physical body, he's pointing very directly that you have physical bodies. Your physical beings. A lot of teachings, and not just misunderstood Buddhist teachings, but a lot of New Age teachings are about escaping our body or denying the fact that we're even human beings. But first thing to notice is that we have a body. And and the first foundation of mindfulness is developed when we meditate. The way he taught to be mindful of our bodies is to be mindful of the breath in the body. And when we do that, when we just take a moment to be mindful of the breath in the body, what are we mindful of? We're mindful of our bodily functions. In fact, we're mindful of the most important bodily function, probably, our breath. So let's just take a moment and just relax a little bit and be mindful of the breath in the body for a moment or two. So continue with your eyes closed and your mouth closed, and just stay in that state of mind of being mindful of your breath and your body. And now be mindful of any feeling you might have. It could be a physical feeling. It could be just you feel yourself sitting on your cushion. It could be a mild pain in your body. Or it could be some type of an emotional upset. You might be a little fearful about what's coming up tomorrow or what might come out of my mouth next or some situation. But just be mindful of any feeling that's arising. And notice if that awareness of a feeling has distracted you from your breath. And if it has, return your mindfulness to your breath. And just allow the feeling to be there without grabbing your attention. And now go back to the feeling. And notice that as you're thinking about a feeling in your body, as you're thinking about it, you're evaluating it in some way. You're deciding whether you like it or you don't like it. You're wondering where it's coming from or if it's a cause of a problem. Or you're wondering, why do you keep thinking this way? In some way, you're evaluating the feeling. And so notice how your thoughts about the feeling change the experience of the feeling or make it maybe even a little bit more intense, or that you identify with it even more. My knee hurts, or I'm worried about tomorrow, or why do I always feel this way? And finally, notice how your thoughts about your feelings have impacted the general quality of your mind. Okay, and when you're ready, you could gently open your eyes. So the Buddha talked about these four foundations of mindfulness. Be mindful of the breath in the body. And as our minds quiet a little bit because of that mindfulness of the breath, we're developing a little bit of concentration initially. Just to be mindful that we're having feelings. Now, when the Buddha's teaching mindfulness, he's also teaching dispassion at the same time. So this is a dispassionate mindfulness. So you've just sat through the process of being in a body, having feelings arise, and impacting those feelings by your thoughts. So in the four foundations of mindfulness, we go through the same process, but simply recognize that feelings arise. And that's as a consequence of having a physical body. And as feelings arise, we evaluate those feelings one way or the other. We like it, we don't like it. We get into some analysis about it. But that always impacts and moderates the feeling in some way. And with an unrefined mindfulness, that can impact the quality of our mind in a negative way. So we've all had the experience of having a wonderful day. And one thing occurs that's kind of out of our liking, and it changes the quality of our mind for the rest of the day, doesn't it? We've all had that experience. That's what happens when we have an unrefined mindfulness, and our thoughts, because of that unrefined mindfulness, are impacted by our feelings and could go anywhere. That's the reactive mind that we're trying to gain control of. So the utility of the four foundations of mindfulness is just to be aware of this process that's going on. Most of us never consider it. Bonnie gave a great description of how we start learning about how we live in the world and how things affect us. That's exactly what this is about. We're trying to learn, we are learning, what occurs through our interaction with the world based on a self-identity. And we're going to get into that probably not until week 7, but I just want to introduce it now. All of these things are occurring to an ego personality, to something the Buddha said is anatta. It's not really a self. It's not a self worth defending, and it's really not a self worth even considering, except to recognize it. So there's something in the Dhamma, and I talk about it in this, you'll read it this week, called the sixth sense base. So the sixth sense base is our five physical senses and consciousness. But it's not consciousness with a big C. People think that there's this grand consciousness within this. There isn't. It's a consciousness with a small c. And it's just that thinking process. So something happens in life. It comes through one or more of our five senses. We evaluate it in some way in relation to this thing called anatta, an ego self. And we create an attachment and usually more craving about that, about something that has impacted. A good example, and a somewhat silly example, is you have a piece of chocolate cake. It's the best chocolate cake you ever had, and you want more. You've just created an attachment to chocolate cake. In the big picture, that doesn't really amount to much, but we do that with everything. This idea of an ego personality or anatta, the reason why it's so hurtful and why it creates so much stress in our lives is that we create an identity in every thought, word, and idea that occurs to us in just that process. Something impacts our physical senses, it creates a feeling, a thought impacts that feeling, and there's an object. There's more me in the world now. Is that clear what I've just said? I don't know if I can. I'll go through the process again. Something happens. I feel a physical pain. I've identified now with that pain. There's a pain in my knee. And immediately, if I didn't know I was doing that, if somebody walked up and slapped me, I would have a thought about that too. And that thought, unless I had a refined type of mindfulness, might be, I want to get that SOB. Or I'll create a whole scenario about revenge and anger and everything else. Instead of recognizing that, boy, that was really nothing. It's gone. The feeling's gone. There's nothing to attach myself to because nothing happened. Except a momentary occurrence in the timeline of my life. It has no real impact. Even the sensation is gone now. The sensation isn't permanent. The person has walked down the street. He's out of yelling distance, so I can't even impact him that way. The whole experience was impermanent. There's nothing there. Does that explain it a little better? But do you see the process of what happened? I needed a physical body in order to have the feeling, and my consciousness with a small c evaluated that feeling based on what occurred and usually from any conditioned thinking that I might have. And it could have affected the quality of my mind. But because I have such a high level of refined mindfulness, it didn't matter. Does that explain it a little better? I mean, sometimes you get into these concepts and it might make it more complicated, but is that helpful? It's really more helpful to understand and see the process as it occurs rather than me try to explain to you what's happening to you. So these four foundations of mindfulness are to develop an understanding of what's occurring to ourselves in our lives as life occurs, but we first apply that in meditation. So Samatthi-vipassana meditation develops these four foundations of mindfulness while it's contributing and developing deep concentration. And how does it do that? As we become mindful of the breath and the body, we recognize, and everybody does this in meditation, you have feelings come up. And either those feelings are going to cause you to start thinking about something and distract you from your meditation, or you'll recognize it, and you'll come back to the sensation of breathing. And you're gaining an understanding of the four foundations of mindfulness because you're seeing the process of them occurring. Everybody has these. You know, this is part of being a human being. If we continue to react, if we continue to allow thoughts to drive feelings and feelings to drive thoughts, which is what most of us do with an unrefined mindfulness, we just stay distracted by this process that is ongoing. But when we start interrupting the process by mindful recognition of each step, and that's not difficult at all, then we start gaining control of our minds. And how does that work? We're present in our bodies. We're not distracted because of the deep concentration we've developed. Something occurs that creates a feeling, and we recognize the process. And we're now in control of the thought that we apply to the feeling. And so the quality of our mindfulness, that fourth foundation of mindfulness, stays peaceful and calm. That's a mind of equanimity. So I don't want this to be taken way too literally, but it is the truth. The entire process of awakening is included in understanding the four foundations of mindfulness. That's a pretty bold statement, but it's true. But I don't want you to fixate on it, because then that could be a distraction from the rest of the Dhamma. The reason why the Buddha introduced these four foundations of mindfulness, though, is because of their significance. If we can observe this process, and we can, through refined mindfulness, through dispassionate refined mindfulness, we can understand the whole process of continuing to create an ego personality that's prone to suffering, prone to that unsatisfactory experience in life. Does anybody have any questions about that? Is it clear how this, and I know you might not have profound understanding of this, but is it clear how you can gain understanding of this process? And so in meditation, again, we don't want to get distracted in our meditation by analyzing feelings or analyzing thoughts that impact feelings, but just to recognize the process. David touched on it before. To recognize the process that a feeling has occurred. And sometimes we don't notice that the feeling brings a thought, that the feeling drives a thought. And sometimes it's not entirely true, but usually that's the case. But sometimes we miss that step, that I'm just caught up in my thoughts. But it was usually an initial feeling that drove that thought. So just to recognize that process. And in meditation, if we, and this is why meditation feels so good, when we recognize the process occurring in our own bodies and in our own minds, and we come back to the sensation of our breath, we're diminishing the impact of that. We're diminishing the reaction to it. And so we're affecting the quality of our mind. So that's why most of the time when we have a successful meditation method, practice, and I'll explain what that means in a second, when we've had a successful meditation session, we feel better. And we feel better because we've detached at least a little bit from being driven by feelings and thoughts. And our minds are calmer, our minds are more at peace. That feeling that we have during a meditation like that is showing us what we can expect in our moment-by-moment life once we're fully awakened. When the Buddha described an awakened human being, he used two words. He said they are either unbound or released, meaning unbound or released from clinging. And once we're unbound or released from clinging, we're not attaching a thought to a feeling. Does everybody see that? And so the quality of our mind is exactly what the Buddha described. The Buddha described the quality of mind of an awakened human being in one word, calm. Another word for that is equanimity. We're no longer reacting to life as life occurs. And the refined mindfulness that's developed through this Eightfold Path and the other understandings allows us to be fully present while not reacting to life. In fact, for the first time in our lives, we can be fully present. That's the real meaning of refined mindfulness. To be in our lives as life occurs and to be able to respond with wisdom and all the other wonderful characteristics that human beings have, such as love and compassion and honesty. So what I meant about a successful meditation, a meditation session is successful if we recognize thoughts as thoughts arise and come back to the sensation of breathing. That's it. If we want more out of that, we're likely going to be disappointed. But that is what meditation is. And if we can do that, and the more we can do that, recognize that we're caught up in our thinking again, recognize that feelings and thoughts are distracting us, and come back to the sensation of breathing, we're interrupting conditioned mind. We're interrupting that clinging from feeling to thought, to this identity as a physical body. That's why this is such a key teaching. So I think I've talked enough about that tonight. So the homework is to read the second chapter, or reread it, and then we'll have a discussion again about the four foundations of mindfulness next week, but also start looking at how these things all fit together. So I think it's in the instructions at the end of the week, start looking at how the four foundations of mindfulness fit into meditation, into Shamatha Vipassana meditation, but also you can be mindful of the four foundations off your cushion. Bonnie described that pretty well tonight too. Notice how something occurs to you and you immediately attach a thought to it. I like it, I don't like it, and that can lead to all kinds of other thoughts. And how that affects the quality of your mind. What we're learning too, we become very enamored with our thought process and we start defending our thought process. In other words, we might have a thought, well, how else could I think about something like that? You can think anything you want about something like that, about anything like that. And that's up to you. That's the refined mindfulness. So notice how you react. Notice how things occur. They come through your five senses, your five physical senses, and they're impacted by that small C type of consciousness based on what you felt, what came in. And then notice how that affects the quality of your mind. So those of us that have been in class for a while, you notice that at the end of almost every meditation session, I say, notice the quality of your mind. That's referring to the fourth foundation of mindfulness. And then the next thing I say is, be at peace with your mind. And sometimes I even say, it's your mind. The point of that is that you can be at peace with a less than peaceful mind state. So you can be caught up in the fact that you're strongly identified as a physical body, something has occurred that has caused you to create an agitated mind state over that, and yet, if you're in control of the process, you can immediately go into, I'm going to be at peace with this mind state, even though I'm very angry or very upset or very fearful. To someone who hasn't gone through that process, that can sound almost insane. This is just how I'm thinking. This is how I feel. But through this Dhamma, through this practice, you can gain control of your thoughts And you can have an experience that impacts you in the moment, but it doesn't impact the quality of your mind. And that's the part of being fully human. So we're not supposed to, this goes back to that, what I started with. We're physical beings. We are going to have feelings. We're conscious beings. We're going to have thoughts. The question is, how are we going to think? Are we going to continue with this conditioned mindfulness and a conditioned mind and react to life? Or are we going to rest in an understanding of life as life occurs and respond to life in a mindful way? And that last part, being able to respond to life in a mindful way, is what awakening is. And I think a better description is even a fully mature human being, because that's what occurs. And the first one that did this was a gentleman named Siddhartha Gautama. He figured all this out, and then he spent 45 years teaching it, exactly in the context that we're developing right here. Ram, you had a question?
Just a small thing. In some translations, I saw that some people make a distinction between feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there...
Yeah, I don't. I think that's just complicating a little bit. What an emotion is a thought attached to a feeling. And so that's what the process is taking us through and getting us to understand. So an emotion isn't something separate from the four foundations of mindfulness. Another way of saying a strong emotion is a judgment of a feeling, or it's a judgment of a situation, but that situation created a feeling. But that's an emotion. It's a thought attached to a feeling. And again, we can get it. I don't even want to go there, but it's a really important question, because that's what we defend. We defend our emotions. This is how I feel. You made me feel this way. Well, nobody can make anybody feel a certain way. It's up to us. It's all up to us. And if you understand that, and I think you all do, it's not. If you understand that, then you really start to understand that it's up to you the quality of life that you have. Again, based on understanding this simple process, what the Buddha is teaching is to understand reality. And it's the same reality now that it was 2,500 years ago. We're still human beings in a human body with feelings and thoughts, living in an impermanent, phenomenal world that is prone to an unsatisfactory experience because of that impermanence. Bonnie?
I just want to say what I think you said, see if I heard it right, that an emotion is a thought about the feeling?
A thought attached to the feeling, but you could say it's a thought about the feeling too. But as soon as we start judging anything, including our feelings, we're attaching ourselves to it. We've created the emotion.
Right. That's mind-blowing. Okay.
Is that clear? Is it clear?
It's clear. I have to really wrap my head around that one for a while. That's a big nut in a way, because I think emotion and feeling, I think, are sort of used synonymously sometimes, right?
They often are, but maybe this is another good example. Yeah. I'm not doing this. Somebody's doing this to me. The feeling is pain.
Right.
The emotion is I'm angry at that person because I attached the thought to it. I judged it in some way. But what it'll become even more clear as you start developing an understanding of that process, and you already have, by what you said tonight. So is that, and again, I don't want to go on too far for time's sake, but also I don't want to get too confusing about this. But is it clear enough how these four foundations of mindfulness occur within us and how they affect the quality of our minds? Everybody sees that. So the homework this week, again, is to read the second week, which is on, the four foundations of mindfulness. And then we'll talk more about this. And we'll start developing how this really fits in with the broader picture. Great. No other questions? So we have two new people. I'm going to give a little bit of background on Shamatha Vipassana, and then we'll meditate. And I think we'll go right into metta at the end of meditation. It's about 8:05, so it's not too late. But again, are there any other questions that we should talk about tonight? If anything comes up before we leave and you have a question, just put your hand up. I don't want anybody to go home with a question on their mind. Yeah. All right, let's find our relaxed. I'll talk a little bit about Shamatha Vipassana meditation. You say you've meditated a little bit, Laura?
Yes.
So you have your posture and
yeah.
all that. And Rick, too, you have a meditation posture?
Yeah, I can't seem to get comfortable today.
Okay, we can talk more about that. And there's a yellow booklet out there. Both of you, please take it. And it talks more about posture and how to start to establish a meditation practice. And also, the book that I'm referring to is out there, too. You don't have to have the book in order to come to this class. But if you want to read along with us, you do. So it's out there. Len, you can see me after the class for that. Shamatha Vipassana meditation. Shamatha means to quiet the mind or to develop a tranquil mind. And Vipassana means to gain insight. And it's a very specific type of insight. It's insight into impermanence and this thing called an anatta or not self characteristic, and insight into dukkha, into the general unsatisfactory nature of life. And we do that by being mindful of the breath and developing deep concentration. So we're not looking for a generalized type of insight in meditation. That would just be another distraction. It arises by incorporating the rest of the Eightfold Path. So in Shamatha Vipassana meditation, when we notice that we're caught up in our thinking, we simply recognize that, acknowledge that, and come back to the sensation of breathing in our body. And that is meditation. It's not just being focused on the breath. It's both of those. I've yet to meet anybody that has been able to actually end their thinking or stop thinking. But there's techniques that you can develop a trance-like state. I've done them, and they're not helpful at all. And the reason why is because if you're in a trance, you can't develop insight. You're not aware of these four foundations of mindfulness. So the method is just that, to recognize that you're caught up in your thinking again and come back to the sensation of breathing. And that's the basic practice. If you're starting a practice or just reinvigorating a practice, I suggest you start with just 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And if you can do that twice a day, that's much more effective to do that on a consistent basis. Consistency really pays off here. Then meditating, say on a Saturday when you have some time, and I'll meditate for a good 2 hours. You might do that once and you'll probably never do it again. So short periods of time to begin, and then you'll gradually add some time. And pretty soon you'll have a full-fledged meditation practice and then being part of a sangha that supports that. All right? And any questions from either one of you about what I just said? Pretty simple, right? Okay, so let's find our relaxed meditative posture. Gently close your eyes. Gently close your mouth. And holding your back straight, but not stiff. Your ears aligned with your shoulders. Nose aligned with your navel. And holding yourself very loosely, very gently, very lovingly. Allow yourselves to settle into this room. Settle onto your seats. Settle into your bodies. And settle into your minds. And take a moment to become aware of the sensation of breathing in your body. Just be aware of what that feels like. To be mindful of your breath in your body. And while remaining mindful of your breath in your body, notice that thoughts are flowing. We're conscious beings, thoughts should be flowing. The purpose of Shamatha Vipassana meditation is to not be distracted by our own thoughts. So when you notice that you're caught up in your thinking again, simply acknowledge that and return your mindfulness to the sensation of breathing. I'll repeat that. When you find that you're caught up in your thinking again, simply acknowledge that and return your mindfulness to the sensation of breathing. Putting aside thoughts as they arise, remaining mindful of our breathing. And we'll meditate for 20 minutes. putting aside thoughts as they arise, remaining mindful of our breathing. Putting aside thoughts as they arise, remaining mindful of our breathing. putting aside thoughts as they arise, remaining mindful of our breathing. Not following a thought with a thought, remaining mindful of our breathing. If a persistent thought or feeling arises, stay with it for a moment or two. Recognize it as impermanent and return your mindfulness to the sensation of breathing. We'll meditate for 5 more minutes. Take a moment to notice the quality of your mind. Be at peace with your mind. And when you're ready, you could gently open your eyes. So are there any questions about tonight's class or the homework? Laura, how is that for you?
I felt my mind going off a lot, really, but it was nice to come back to just breathing.
Yeah, that's the meditation practice, though. You did well. Good. Rick, how about you? How was that?
It was good. It started to come back, you know, out of the 20 minutes, probably 5 minutes was... It started to come back to where it was.
Yeah. 20 minutes is a long time if you haven't been meditating regularly. We get a lot of support in that from each other, too. There's a recording of Shamatha Vipassana on the website. If you want to download it, you can listen to that. And we're going to conclude with metta, and there's also a recording of metta, too. So I asked for $10 for this class, but no one should ever feel that not to come for financial concerns. Everybody's always welcome. So let's finish with metta. Find your relaxed meditative posture. Once again, and once again, gently close your eyes and gently close your mouth. And again, take a moment to become aware of the sensation of breathing. And in metta, the first object of our meditation is always ourselves. Excuse me. In generating feelings of deep love and compassion for the object of our meditation. May I be filled with love and kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May I be filled with love and kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. May I be filled with love and kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease, may I be happy. And now bring to mind those you care deeply for, in generating those same feelings of love and compassion for the objects of our meditation. May they be filled with love and kindness. May they be well. May they be peaceful and at ease. May they be happy. May they be filled with love and kindness. May they be well. May they be peaceful and at ease. May they be happy. May they be filled with love and kindness. May they be well. May they be peaceful and at ease. May they be happy. And now bring to mind those you may be in conflict with, difficult relationships, and generating those same feelings of love and compassion for the objects of our meditation. May they be filled with love and kindness. May they be well. May they be peaceful and at ease. May they be happy. May they be filled with love and kindness. May they be well. May they be peaceful and at ease. May they be happy. May they be filled with love and kindness. May they be well. May they be peaceful and at ease. May they be happy. And now bring to mind each other in this room this evening and all the other members of our Sangha. And extend your awareness outside of this room, across our community, across our planet, across all creation, to include all sentient beings, and generating those same feelings of deep love and compassion for all sentient beings. May all sentient beings be filled with love and kindness. May all sentient beings be well. May all sentient beings be peaceful and at ease. May all sentient beings be happy. May all sentient beings be filled with love and kindness. May all sentient beings be well. May all sentient beings be peaceful and at ease. May all sentient beings be happy. May all sentient beings be filled with love and kindness. May all sentient beings be well. May all sentient beings be peaceful and at ease. May all sentient beings be happy. This concludes our Dhamma practice for this evening. Thank you all for being here. Peace. Great class. Thank you all. Congratulations on completing this week's Dhamma study. Remember to be gentle with yourself and enjoy your study. The most loving action we can take for ourselves and for all beings is to develop the Dhamma and awaken. If you feel that you would like to review any week's study or take longer than 1 week to integrate a lesson before beginning the next week's lesson, please do so. There is a lot to integrate. Continue to integrate your meditation practice into the broader framework of the Eightfold Path and the other supportive direct teachings of the Buddha. Keep in mind that this course develops the foundation for a lifetime of lasting peace and happiness. The continued development of these principles is based on your own continued right effort. Peace.